Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Welcome everybody. This is part two of a message I did about drinking wine or coffee or any stimulants that many believers today are addicted to. You can listen to part one on the archives of this radio station or go to my YouTube page, Torah Life Ministries, or my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org. And here is part two of this message about drinking wine and also other stimulants that we become addicted to. Thank you. Somebody who called himself a follower of Yeshua and a believer should be drinking wine. Ever. You know, for medicinal purposes, I'll leave that in a different case. If you're out in the middle of somewhere and that's all they have is a disinfectant, that's a whole nother story. But for somebody to casually drink wine, it's like somebody casually smoking pot. Not a good thing. And as for my stance against caffeine and things like this, is people are using it as a drug. They don't realize it, but they are. And it's a tremendous problem. And again, it's a drug, so we shouldn't be messing with these things, and we don't need these things. You know, Yahweh gives his beloved rest. You want energy, you don't need caffeine. You know, you want to feel good, you don't need wine. You know, there's a saying, get drunk on the spirit. You know, nobody ever condemned that. Well, the Bible says don't get drunk. Well, I was drunk on the spirit. No, it says don't get drunk from wine, right? Or drugs, or put your mind in a different place. But, you know, be with Yahweh and so on. You know, and then we look at the unfermented wine, which was called in scripture as well, which is fresh grape juice and other fresh juices. Wow, I love juicing. I juice all the time, and to have fresh grape juice or fresh apple juice that's not yet fermented is such sweet and delicious and really great tasting. And when you think about the wedding with Yeshua, when they drank the wine that was better, the best tasting wine, not the alcoholic, highly fermented wine that these drunk people are already indulging in, but the best tasting wine that still had its sugars in it, that weren't completely fermented over, and it tasted like candy, like this good, delicious, sweet juice that it so was. So, you know, and again, a good amount of you might come and try to make excuses or give me reasons why I'm wrong and I'm adding to scripture and all this stuff. You know, but alcohol is something we need to be careful with. You know, and I pray to those, you know, thinking this, you know, and trying to do stuff. It says in Isaiah 5:11, woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they must run after strong drink, whose tarry late into the evening as wine inflamed them. You know, it says, woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and vigilant men in mixing strong drink. You know, so the Bible has much to say about this. And here's the thing. And as a brother who's caring about you, it says, you know, in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking for somebody to devour. Be sober-minded. Remember what I said? We don't know when our point is until we're already past that point. Don't even go there. Be sober-minded. You know, so there's so many other scriptures that show us that and talk about this in scripture. And I pray that people are getting this and understanding this. And I pray for those of you that have a weakness in this area, for those of you that have a weakness, and for those of you that have a weakness and don't even know it and defend, well, we could drink a wine and don't tell us not to drink a wine. My heart goes out to you, and I do pray for you. And, you know, it's a dangerous thing, you know, and you don't want to put yourself in that situation. So please don't. And, you know, many people are functional alcoholics, you know, defending drinking wine or defending taking alcohol or defending smoking marijuana. You shouldn't be defending these things. You know, and yes, these things are addictive and they're hard to quit and hard to get off of, but we need to. We need to. And then there's scriptures that talk about, you know, lifting and helping your brothers up. So if somebody's, if I'm struggling with drinking and you're drinking, that's not a good thing. That's not this of the spirit of Yahweh. If I have problems smoking pot and you're smoking, I'm trying to stop and you're smoking pot around me, that's not very being loving and thoughtful. You know, but this is happening out there as well. Many of you, especially those of you that are willing to come on Facebook or come up against a video and say, well, I'm adding to scripture by saying we shouldn't drink alcohol and all this stuff. Instead, why don't you look at the reality of my heart in this, of this brother cares about us. And yes, you know, maybe I do need to look at the context of how much alcohol is in something I'm drinking and know, truly know what my limit is. And some people say, well, I've been drinking and I know what my limit is because I just drink one glass and I don't have any problems. So I can do it. I drink one glass of alcohol, no problems. And I let that happen. You know, and I never get drunk. I've been doing this for a long time. You know, and some people will say something like that. But what is your goal? Why? Why drink the wine? So, I mean, there are some people that say they absolutely love the taste of wine. You know, I haven't experienced that novelty, but for the most part, the goal is, and this is what people tell me, is it helps them relax. It helps them relax. Anytime, I will go so far to say, is anytime alcohol changes your mood on any level, that is borderline drunkenness. From my understanding, that's what it is. So you have to decide, and that's with anything. Anytime it changes your mood, is borderline drunkenness. And so helping you relax and unwind, you know, is something you need to consider or think about. You know, if that's the reason you're taking it. And if you're taking it because you love the way it tastes, I just love the way wine tastes. That's the only reason I drink it. I can care less about my mood. There's this one particular wine from South France that I had once and it just made my taste buds burst and I just love the way it tastes. And I would say to you, even more dangerous, because that will just make it easier to overindulge. This tastes good. Good things are addicting. This is good pleasure. Pleasure, you know, can get you in a lot of trouble. If you taste wine as not good and it's bad, it's like, oh, I'll finish this cup, but it's not good. But if you love it, you're like, oh, that was so good. I just got to have one more cup. And more people listen to their stomachs than they do their minds, and certainly than their spirits. As a matter of fact, strong drinks is called spirits, and it's not good spirits they're called. So I want you to consider these things and consider why I say these things and suggest these things. And I pray you're listening out there, and I pray you know these things. And then again, if you've been affected by somebody who, you know, like I said the other day, if you know, it might not even be you, but somebody else who's had a little too much to drink, and they crash into you, or the police come knocking on your door because your kid's gotten an accident because either they were drinking or somebody else was drinking. That's the other thing. The example you set for your children when you're having just a glass of wine with dinner is not a good example. Because for you, that might be a glass of wine or alcohol that you control yourself with, even if it's a beer that you're controlling yourself with. But for your children, that's showing them that that's okay to do. And when those little kids that you're drinking in front of, they're showing it's okay, when they're 18 out with their friends, there's nothing to tell them that this is wrong or this should be approached with caution because my parents did it. Next thing you know, they're getting drunk because they've got this message from you through your actions. So we need to, you know, send the right message to our children when it comes to this. I know people and I have friends and brothers and sisters who struggle with alcohol. And you don't necessarily know when they're around you or not. Not all of them go around parading it. And when you're drinking alcohol in front of others, you can be causing another brother to stumble or another sister to stumble. We need to keep this in mind and think about this. And so I pray you're getting this today here. And so for those of you that are quick to say, oh, he's adding to scripture by saying we shouldn't drink alcohol because they had alcohol in scripture, or, you know, that's crazy that he's saying that about, you know, caffeine or marijuana, you know, when some people say, oh, they marijuana smoke was in a temple and all this, trust me, the priest of Yahweh were not indulging with mind-altering substances of any level. They were even warned not to. They were warned not to drink. We, as believers, are warned not to go there. We're the priest of Yahweh today, and this is our temple. This is our tabernacle, and we need to be careful about it, indulgent about this, and understand this, you know, and I pray about this. And this isn't me just being emotional in my feelings. This is scriptural. Do not get drunk with wine. Do not get drunk with alcohol. The enemy is out there looking to devour people and destroy people. And this is what he does. And substances, whether it's hard drugs or little drugs, they're still drugs. Whether it's hard liquor or little liquor, it's still liquor. Whether it's high amounts of alcohol, small amounts of alcohol, it's still alcohol. And there should be no place in our body, the purity of our tabernacle, for that garbage, for that stuff. So I pray that you could get this and see this. And what more can I say? What more can I say? I mean, it's for those of you that are defending this, you know, and it goes on to the legal drugs too, the opioids and everything else. I got to make some videos about that, because that's wicked stuff. And the fact that it's legal is making people think that it's okay. You know, but today it's about alcohol and understanding the reality of it and what people are thinking and when people defend it. And you know, remember, a functional alcoholic is somebody who has a trait that gets upset at other people when they exclaim or tell you that, you know, you're doing something you shouldn't be doing when it comes to alcohol, like literally getting upset. And this is what I find people, you know, getting upset at me because I'm saying that we shouldn't be doing this and what functional alcoholism is. And people are literally getting upset at this. We have to look at of what it means to be a functional alcoholic and the excuses of it and that people are using with functional alcoholism. So, you know, so we need to pray for one another. That's what we need to do. You know, so, and understand these things. So the next time you go to sit down or you're in somebody's house and they say, do you want a glass of wine or something? You could say, well, yeah, but before I do, you know, what kind of wine is it? How much liquor is in it? And, you know, make sure I don't drink more than this much. And so on, you know, and ask them these questions and know these things. And you definitely don't want to get in trouble with the law with getting pulled over for drunk driving or some craziness like that, because that's just crazy. But some signs of a functional alcoholic are, you know, say you have a problem or you joke about alcoholism or drinking in general. You know, you do not keep up with your major responsibilities and homework or school. Remember, an alcoholic doesn't mean somebody who's lost everything and is down and out on everything because of alcohol. A functional alcoholic is actually someone who can keep things together and still function, but still they have that everlasting desire for alcohol. If you've ever lost friendships or relationships because of drinking, but you haven't quit drinking, that's a good sign you're a functional alcoholic. You know, and I know people that have left this ministry. They've left following this ministry because I said, don't drink wine. That is a clear sign of functional alcoholism. You literally stopped watching all my videos on everything and all the teachings and all the fellowships and all the prayer meetings because that man said we shouldn't drink alcohol. The reality is that's a sign of functional alcoholism. If you've ever had any legal problems, a DWI, or anything else related to alcohol, it's a sign that something is wrong. Again, if you take alcohol to relax you and unwind you. This is a big one, to help you relax and unwind. It's something serious to pray about. You know, if you drink when you get, if you ever drink, you know, most people that drink, they drink at nighttime or something. But if the first thing you're doing when you get up is having a drink, that's a serious sign something's wrong. You know, and the other thing is, if you get drunk when you don't intend to, that's another situation, or you get tipsy when you don't intend to, that's another one, and something to consider. You know, if you get angry when confronted about drinking alcohol, and that's where many of you are on Facebook and others, that's a big problem. And if you cause loved ones to worry about or make excuses for your drinking, you know, I'm a loved one. I love you. I love you as Yeshua's brother and sister. And you're causing me to worry. And I am worrying because to see how people are getting upset and so on. And, you know, thankfully there's ways and people and ways to get help out there today. But let's get serious about this and start living for Yahweh, you know? Repentance doesn't mean, you know, saying you're sorry and keep doing it. It means stop doing it and change your thinking about it. And I pray that these things happen. And there are many people out there that start something without the intent of making it worse. But, you know, pot smoking is something people are addicted to. When believers start defending pot as being okay to do recreational, you know, they got a problem. And when drinkers defend drinking as something that's wise, it's not wise. You know, and you know, when people say, well, Yeshua drunk wine, so why can't we? You know, to the majority of Christians that say that, I say, well, he also kept the Sabbath and followed the Torah, so why don't you? But to the average Torah person that says that, you know, we don't know the type of wine he was drinking. We really don't. We don't know if it was watered down or not. We don't know if it was strong drink or not. You know, but we know that he didn't get drunk or tipsy or buzzed. We know that for sure. And when you say, why can't we drink when Yeshua drank? Because we don't have control often over our own indulgences. And Yeshua definitely did. So, and on a spiritual level, it's opens up our door to things we don't want to let get in. So, yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know how much more clearly I could say this and let people know these things, but I pray for you all. I pray, Father Yahweh, that everyone to be released of this desire for alcohol on any level. And we wouldn't bring it to a level of legalism of you're saying this, or you're adding to the word, or the Torah doesn't say against this. You know, we would bring it to a level of purity and holiness. And Yahweh doesn't want us to indulge in things that can possibly even alter our minds, that can possibly even get us to a place where we shouldn't be, where we shouldn't be. And to even be in a violent environment with that. If you go to a church and they're all drinking wine or something, or beer, it's probably not the best environment or the best church to be in. You know, when there's so much better we can do. If you go to a church barbecue and they're all smoking pot, but now you go there and all drinking coffee, you can't even stay, they can't even stay awake to hear the word or to pray without falling asleep, so they need some drug to stay awake. And it completely changes the body. There's more prayer in church for healing of disease than any other topic, but people are praying while they're drinking things that are creating disease with their adrenaline rushes and everything else from their coffee. And somebody says they, you know, wondering about from a biblical standpoint, is it okay to drink wine? And You know, there's many different scriptures in wine that show that people drank it. And there's many that show that a lot of bad happened from it as well. But there's many warnings in scripture, and everyone will agree getting drunk is an issue. And people say they're going to drink and not get drunk. Well, how do you know that until you're drunk, okay? And if you know your point, you know, it still can be a downfall to other believers that have weaknesses in this. It's no good. Don't do it. Stay away from it. Stop defending it. You know, go get yourself a juicer and drink real grape juice. You'd be better off health-wise, spiritual-wise, and every place-wise. You know, go get yourself and do that. All right, everybody. I pray that this helps somebody here, whether you're struggling with wine or alcohol on any level, marijuana or coffee or these things, that you're addicted to these things. And now let's say, how do you know? Well, don't do it for 30 days. Don't drink anything for 30 days and see if you can joyfully not do it. And if you struggle with not doing it, when we talk about functional alcoholism, that's a great example. If you can do it and you know, without getting yourself in a situation or go 30 days without it, well, that's a good sign. You know, somebody says, I'm weak, so I think everyone is weak. The Bible says we're weak in the flesh. We need to be strong in the spirit. You know, don't mess around with that, and don't think that you can overcome these different things. You know, oh, I have no tolerance for alcohol because I never drink it. So if I have one sip, it's no good. I remember, you know, if somebody smokes a cigarette and they'd never smoked before, oh, they're going to be coughing and coughing and coughing. The body has an amazing power to adapt. But somebody that's smokes cigarettes all day, packs of cigarettes, they can get through a whole pack without coughing. Oh, they'll be coughing a lot later in life. But the body has amazing power to adapt. And here's a wonderful sign of a functional alcoholic. Someone say that I'm twisting Torah around by saying these things, by saying alcohol is no good and getting drunk is no good, and wine leads to that. So we shouldn't do that, because there's no way to say where that is and where that isn't. You know, and probably getting drunk over this, probably getting upset over this as well. You know, and I'm not lying here. So, you know, everybody pray for this person that has something to say about this or doesn't like this. Pray for them, because they're really, you know, their alcohol or their need for alcohol or drinks or to justify drinking. That's not the message you want to send people. That's not the message you should send people, you know. And, you know, no, not everything in moderation is the biggest and worst excuse in the world. The biggest and worst excuse in the world. And that is the enemy's way of deceiving people. You know, if alcohol is bad in moderation, it's no good. You're missing the whole point to this if you believe that. That's an excuse, because functional alcoholism, a sign of functional alcoholism, is somebody that will defend drinking alcohol. That's a sign of functional alcoholism, a functional alcoholic. That's a symptom. Somebody to say that the message that is scriptural, that not to get drunk, that getting tipsy is drunk, that we shouldn't be doing these things. I'm all for wine. The Bible says we could drink wine. And here I am in this teaching telling you, what kind of wine are you drinking? Know the kind of wine you're drinking. How much level of alcohol is in there? Do you do that before you sit down to it? Has that wine you're drinking, is it literally a strong drink where it's going to get you drunk much faster? Are you going to drive home and get pulled over because you've had more than 2 cups of wine and you're going to get arrested for drunk driving? Be aware of what you're doing. If you can drink a kombucha that has alcohol and not get a buzz, go ahead and do that. If you could drink your wine that has 0.1% alcohol, scripture says do that, then go do that. But those people, the average person that's drinking wine is drinking wine that's 12% or even higher. and they are getting tipsy and they are getting buzzed, or they've drunk so much of it that they've gotten to a point where they could take that much in and not get a buzz. That's a functional alcoholic. And I don't say this to be confrontational. I say this to wake people up, and I pray you would get it. Yahweh is not an Elohim of neutrality. He doesn't want us to be good sometimes. You know, we want to take the example from his priest and the tabernacle and everything else. And I don't want people to get away with smoking marijuana because there were green herbs in scripture and people say, well, he's twisting scripture around. We can do marijuana, or we can drink alcohol as much as we want. As long as we don't get drunk, it's okay. And there's no issue with it. In moderation, I can do all these things. When this person said everything is good in moderation, no, it's certainly not. You smoke crack in moderation and tell me how that is. It's not good in moderation because it opens up the door. If Yahweh tells us not to do something, don't do it and stay away. Stay away. Stay away. You know, I pray people get that. And look at that. You look at that. And yeah. So, you know, and then people that just, they don't understand scripture, even when it's the food or whatever it is. Somebody says here, didn't Yeshua say it's not what goes in your body that is bad, but what comes out? No, actually, you know, he told us what not to put in our bodies. And the Bible tells us what not to put in our bodies and so on. You know, so yes, there's a way to control the amount of alcohol. And even if in wine and in kombucha and so on, there's a way to get it to be less alcoholic or a little alcoholic. And then you could do what many people did often in scripture times is they watered it down. You know, sometimes 8 to 1, sometimes 3 to 1. So if you're going to have a glass of wine, have your glass of wine and take a half a cup of wine and put a quarter cup of wine and fill the rest of the cup up with water. Then you're still technically drinking wine, but you've cut down the alcohol tremendously. Play it safe. Play it safe, you know, and here we go. You know, Yeshua turned the water into wine. Yeshua turned into water and wine. And these are people that are defending this. And these are the examples of alcoholism, functional alcoholism. But Yeshua turned the water into wine. Yeshua turned the water into wine. I am sure that Yeshua did not give drunk people highly alcoholic wine. And I think he turned it into grape juice, not wine, but it could be fermented. Fermented grape juice doesn't necessarily need to be highly alcoholic. And the wine we're using today is highly alcoholic.
For listening, this was part two, a two-part message. You can listen to part one at my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org, or my YouTube page, Torah Life Ministries. Shalom. Come
out of the world. You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah
Life Ministry. Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-422-4374.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.
The Treasure Coast Christian Alliance is a growing association of leaders from the business, civic, and ministry areas on the Treasure Coast of Florida. In these blessed communities, we reside, work, play, and pray together. Our mission is to encourage strong relationships among God's people through Holy Spirit-anointed fellowship. Leaders inspired to overcome barriers to Christian unity bring God's people together on the common ground of the gospel. For more information, visit us online at tccalliance.com or reach us at 772-324-9313.